Yeah, let's just give God a big applause. Okay, now if you were to get every miracle or the things you've been holding your faith for and it really broke free at this service, how would you clap? There you go. That's faith. There you go. Amen. Good job. Good job. Expectancy. Expectancy is a big part. Luke chapter 1. Wow. Got to change notes, folders. I want to do two things in this service I believe the Lord wants to focus on. The overshadowing of Mary and the power of that multiplication of fruitfulness. He wants to touch the trigenerational blessing that he does in every move of God in the Bible is trigenerational, as the Christmas story is. And he's unlocking the value that we all hold. So we can be Abraham age, we can be Isaac, we can be Jacob, we can be a just little baby like Micah, or we can be like Pastor Rufus and our Abraham, 90. And it together, only together does the future unlock. And nothing that one generation hears is completed within the generation that was first heard. In fact, we're still carrying forward the promises made to Abraham into this hour. We now, because of Jesus, can live in the promise of Abraham in Christ. We get the blessing. So I think there's something to be said there. But there's also the power of the prophetic activation that comes when two of like faith come together. And I believe at the end we're going to have a moment to release a blessing and make declarations unto the Lord that will empower our journey and the one who we will release blessing. And it won't be hard. So I want to begin in Luke chapter 1. And I'll begin in verse 24. So now after the days his wife Elizabeth conceived and she hid herself 5 months. And we talked about that last week, the saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Elizabeth, not only was she pregnant, but she was having reproach taken off of her. And the way the Lord dealt with her was not just her pregnancy, but her hiding herself into God and in the promise of manifestation. She centered herself. And that's important because reproach wants to always, it's like a bad coat that wants to find it, you have to wear it every day. God is changing our garments. The garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, but there's a quieting time where you learn the new season and you place on the new attire, the bridal gown, whatever God's doing to undo what you were known for. And everyone who carries promise will bear reproach. It's because promise will be delayed, and what was said in faith and confidence and joy and hope will now look, others will look and say, you can't produce, it's not happening, what's wrong with you? And those conflicts, that's reproach. It's like an uncovering of us, it's a nakedness, it's a bad reputation. For Elizabeth, she was known as Elizabeth, the barren woman. You're barren. She's referred to as that. So let's go on, though. Because now it's 6 months. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. So the conversation has begun. And once the conversation is received, once we recognize something supernatural is being communicated, it can be a whisper, it can be a scripture, it can be an experience, the conversation ensues, it enlarges. And so now Gabriel begins to speak. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now for Mary, this is not just informational, this is transformational. This is speaking to her future. This is declaring what manner of son she's going to have, his destiny, his future. And these words were just not on a greeting card for her. They were like internalized. She's going, whoa. But she's a teenager. So she asked a simple question, Lord, to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So we're going to unpack that in just a moment, because this is not just a one-time occurrence in the New Testament. And the other places it appear this happens, in two other places, there is transformation that continues for a lifetime. And this is a transformational moment. But there's good news inside of the great news. The good news is you're not alone, Mary. Because in verse 36, the angel continues, says, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. So verse 35, we'll go back. Can you imagine 5 months of hiding inside of God, and now it's the sixth month, and you have transitioned from the name of reproach to the name of blessing, and you're about to be called upon to affirm blessing, to recognize prophetic, to declare something over this young girl who is going to need this, and we'll look at that in a minute, but let's just take that moment. I believe while the angel, the angel answered, did we get the, be it done to me according to your word? Did I say that?
No.
Okay, so keep going. All right, verse 38. So Mary's response, this is the clincher. She says, yes. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. It's the rhema, the spoken word specifically to me. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, she's overshadowed. I believe at that moment in this interaction, she became pregnant. Overshadowing is an interesting word. It gives so much imagery, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. It means to cast a shade upon, a derivative of that, it's really to envelop in a haze of brilliancy. To invest with pre-supernatural influence. She was overwhelmed. She was wrapped up inside of Holy Spirit, and the power of God brought the seed of God, the Word of God, to be conceived in her natural womb. And the Word became flesh and began to dwell among us. That's the moment the Word became flesh. Not 9 months later when we celebrate the birth, but at that conception. That was the miracle of all of the birth, was the conception. And it's a funny thing, because we take that and it seems so personal, and it certainly was. And it seems like so special, could never happen again, because there's only one Jesus, and thank God for that too. We don't need this to be repeated. But yet the principle of Holy Spirit bringing life is still seen today. In the transfiguration of Jesus Christ in his earth walk, if we can jump over to Matthew 17, I just want to show this picture, because I think it's worth, some of you will want to go home and just kind of meditate inside of these words. We'll just begin right at the verse 1, chapter 17, Matthew 17. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. Now, he was transfigured before them. Transfigured is the word for transformation. It's the word of metamorphosis. He was changed. He was transfigured from into glory. From the natural imagery, he began to shine. His face shone like a sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And now behold, Moses, Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. So there is this supernatural encounter taking place between Jesus. In Luke's account, we recognize they were talking about his departure. Two men that understood what he was about to go through. One had died, one had been raptured, one had been resurrected, one had been raptured. There was something they were conversing. We don't know the language, but all of a sudden the disciples, they wake up, they see what's happening. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. We're going to collect this moment, hold this moment, honor this, make a place for this. But while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. There it is, the same word of being overshadowed. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. But this now is the excellent glory overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud and saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Now all overshadowing of God over people, individuals, families, and movements are to glorify Jesus Christ and only him. It is all about Jesus. It began with Jesus. It will finish with Jesus. And here the word of the Father says, this is my beloved Son. And now he adds, hear him. Open your ears to hear. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and they were absolutely greatly afraid. But Jesus came, touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, this is such a beautiful statement, they saw no one but Jesus only. That's what an encounter with God is meant to do for each of us, to hear the voice and to see but Jesus. And to come alive in a new place. And so when they came down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. So this is recorded in Mark and in Luke, so three times. The next time it's recorded outside of this story is in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 5, someone who came into the cloud is now carrying the cloud. Someone who went into the cloud is now carrying the cloud, and that's Peter. So when Acts chapter 5, and I'm going to jump ahead. Let's start at verse 15. I know that's the statement, but I want to probably go back a couple verses. So this is larger than the Christmas moment, the Annunciation. So it says, let's just say, verse 12. Let's start at verse 12, because this now is a statement. This is the church just massively growing in the wonderful, glorious Holy Spirit giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the midst, it says, through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. See, because we're going to discover that the Jesus within each of us is the same Jesus. And we're going to start coming into one accord agreement of the manifestation of the glorified Christ in his church. The greatest miracle yet to happen is for Christ to be seen in his church, one body, fully in faith, fully in unity, fully in the Spirit, fully in the knowing of God, completely in the fullness of God. It's coming. And this miracle will be seen again. So it says, though, none of them dared to join them. They're in one accord, but the people esteemed them highly. So you weren't just joining the group on any, this was an intense, glorious moment. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out of the streets and laid them into the streets and laid them on beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. There is a word overshadow. That the shadow of Peter, Not the shadow in the natural, the sunlight, but the proximity, this overshadowing that's on Peter, would fall on some of them. Could you imagine the power of creative miracles, healings, deliverance? That's why I say Cammie was so prophetic, because she just started talking about that's in our midst. This overshadowing glory is in our midst. Now you say, well, big deal. I mean, it's a moment. I'm not in that moment. I wasn't there. I'd like to be there, but what does it do to a person who ever enters in? Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 1. I just have to show you this because you'll understand now that all faith is by the declaration of the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God manifesting the truth of what's being said. The two together, the Spirit of God and the truth of God coming into one moment, and it affects us forever. Now, Simon, this chapter 2, and I think, chapter 1, Peter 1, chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Peter, I know we've jumped way ahead. Peter's an old man. Old man. So we've gone Jesus' life, resurrection. Now he's old. So for this reason, I'll not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. There's stuff that God's doing. We just really, this Christmas of wonders, lay hold of the Christ that's being formed in you. Lay hold of the words that are coming alive. Let them come forward because it's present truth. Yes, I think it right. As long as I am in this tent, that's what you live in, inside a tent, a mobile tent. You live in a house, but inside the house, when you go in there, you're inside a tent. To stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Christ has shown me. So he knows he's closing his days. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease, or better word, departure. Literally, it means departure, once I leave the planet. Four. Now here, catch this. This is a man marked by a moment that never left him, carried him into his entire life. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We are talking about an experience that marks a man, that he refers his entire fruitful life of ministry back to this one transformational moment when Christ was formed, when the voice of the Lord was heard, when something took place. So that work of God in the midst of Mary, that now is worked in the midst of each of us, has the ability to become something that carries us. He carried it himself in ministry times. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Now, okay, that's Peter. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed. Now here's our advice. Heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Sometimes that's all this thing feels like. You've been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Sometimes it feels like darkness is encroaching everywhere. And you wonder. And that's where this collecting ourselves back into the sound. Heed it as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our heart. This Jesus is going to come alive in every one of us. In every one of us. Not one of us are going to be missed. Not one of us are going to be excused. We are fully coming in to this glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ rising in our heart. He is coming. He has said it. He has set it forth. So we say, behold, the handmaiden or the manservant, be it done to me according to your word. And we stay engaged, and we come alive. And knowing this, that I've just got to stop because I got to get to the other support part. Mary became pregnant by the Spirit of God overshadowing her, and the power of God placing that living word into her womb, clothing it within flesh, impregnating her egg with the seed of God, and she happened by this Holy Spirit overshadowing. Many years later, Jesus would be on his departure moment. He would have transfiguration, and there would be an overshadowing of the whole company of these three apostles. And this effect that it had on Peter would show up in one of the greatest outpourings of the Spirit in Acts chapter 5, where miracles were happening just through proximity. And then later, in Peter's last days, he said, I'm writing down all the important things because I want you to have a record of this because you need to not lose it, keep it, value it. So the war to try to remove the word from us is really real, right? How many, we hear things, we believe things, and we have hope for them, and then circumstances, just come against us, and we lose the sense of wonder. We lose a sense of excitement. We lose a sense of can it be half possible? Now, Mary doesn't have an easy chance other than this thing has happened, and it's not going to undo. She's pregnant. She goes and tells Joseph, guess what? I have the most incredible news for you. I am the virgin chosen as spoken in Isaiah 7. And I'm going to have a son and his name is Jesus. Yeah. And Joseph's going, what? Yeshua, Joshua. Yeah, we may name our first son Joshua. That sounds cool. No, you don't understand. I am pregnant now. How? Oh, and then she just explained. Holy Spirit came upon me. Angel spoke to me. I said, yes, Holy Spirit did. Oh, Joseph's going, not my future, not my plans. I'm not that, no, thank you. And he decided at that moment he was going to find a way to remove her, annul her, get her out of his life. But God knew that she would face rejection. The child, the Christ child, was rejected from the first person who heard about the news. And you can imagine that would seemingly mark him, but yet God's love that was the gift of him would overwhelm all these rejections as he would go through life. But that's another story. Because there is someone with like precious faith, Elizabeth. So she jumps in her car up in Nazareth, and in an hour and a half, she's down to Im Kerim to be where Elizabeth is, or 3 or 4 days walking. And she enters in to see Elizabeth. Now we're back in Acts chapter, or Luke. So she arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. She enters the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting from Mary. Hi, Elizabeth. Boy, you look awesome. I heard about your pregnancy. You are amazing. You're shining. I don't know how she greeted. But she greeted. When the greeting came, the babe leaped in the womb of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, there's something about like precious faith that will cause your baby to leap in the voice of someone else. Faith is contagious. The only thing more contagious than faith is unbelief. Unbelief will spread faster than faith ever can keep up with. And faith facing unbelief will be shut down or have to go dormant or get quiet or hide inside of the place of God that is given for all of us to hold ourselves. But when faith is growing and we need to hold our faith, there's something supernatural that when we have someone else who will have like precious faith, who's in a journey similar to ours, impossible, spoken from God, promise fulfilled, it's testing, but now the two come together. Mary greets, the babe leaps, and not only that, then she spoke out with a loud voice, said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. This is why we call her the Blessed Virgin, because she was blessed. First the angel said, you're blessed. Now Elizabeth calls her blessed. And soon she's going to know to say, I am blessed. Faith blesses. Belief blesses. It releases blessing. Doesn't matter what your life you might have to walk through within the testing of that faith. It's a blessing. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it granted for me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. I mean, this is the first prophetic conference of the New Testament between two moms that are pregnant. And she says this statement over Mary, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Believing brings blessing. Believing brings blessing beyond the fulfillment of the words that were spoken. Believing brings blessing because it opens the door of all of the promises, all the blessings of Abraham through faith. Faith is how everything communicated. And she's going, you're so blessed. And there will be a fulfillment of everything. Or it could be you're blessed because you believe there will be a fulfillment. But looking at it, I would probably lean to the way it's written. You're blessed because you believed. There's going to be a fulfillment of everything. And so then Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Pause, quick truth. Your soul is an amplifier. Your soul is like that little Bluetooth box that you put your phone to make your music sound better. Some of us have Bose, and some of us have the, Amazon cheapies. But it's meant to magnify. It's meant to make things bigger. It's meant to make... Now, the problem about the soul is whatever it obsesses on, it magnifies. Fear, anger, hostility, anxiousness, self. It loops itself. But when it's... What it was meant to do is to magnify the Lord. To magnify the Lord. That is the way out of all depression. At some point, God says, magnify me. Give me praise. Extol me. Raise my voice. Raise your voice toward me. Magnify me. It shifts the soul from self back to the one who has life from. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Your spirit is where life comes from. Your spirit is in union with God. Your spirit is where the joy breaks forth. That's why prayer is so valuable to bring us into presence so we can experience righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Ooh, joy. And when those things are in function, soul is magnifying the Lord, spirit's rejoicing in God, our Savior, locked into the future and present and past. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. The beautiful thing is once faith is received, once the Spirit of God initiates, once we are greeted with someone of like precious faith, and they recognize there's something we're carrying, and they bless us, the next thing it releases is our own declaration to go above where we've been. And Mary declares things she needs to declare. You see, some of us, in fact, all of us, need to declare some things today. We need to declare what God has said over us. We need to be larger than the situation we're being forced into and rise above where we are being squished down and declare, this is what's going to happen. For he regarded the lowly state of the maidservant. For behold, henceforth, now watch this, all generations will call me blessed. That wasn't the Pope's idea. No, it was God's idea. Spoken by an angel. Declared by Elizabeth, repeated by Elizabeth, and finally Mary says, I own it. And that's the time we're all coming into, I own it. I own it. I own it. This is what God said of me. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Oh God, we can't even go past this one. We got to say it together. This is the truth over every life, every person in this room. This is our confession. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Yeah, yes. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. The covenant of Abraham and mercy now is breaking forth, and she's in it, and we're in it. He who has shown strength with his arm, Now watch this, because this is part of those conflicts of our soul. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their heart. What you see by faith, someone else cannot see, unless God has them in faith. One in faith, seeing the unseen, has the capacity to see and hear someone else in faith, seeing the unseen. It's when we get out of faith that we can't hear faith, and we can't see what someone else sees. And so when you recognize they can't see what I see, like a Joseph, it's time to let Joseph work out his stuff and go get by somebody like your aunt Elizabeth, who's got faith, expecting and is in the process of the miracle. He's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. All God always does. He has filled the hungry with good things. Are you hungry? If you're hungry, good things are coming. The rich he sent away empty. If you're satisfied, you have no need, you're fine, then you won't find. Because God always is going to the humble. He's going to the broken. He's going to the needy. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spoke it to our fathers, to Abraham, and his seed forever. So she just launches out in declaration of the decree. She starts to prophesy over what God is doing in her, with her, from a blessed greeting from Elizabeth, affirming a miracle that she's carrying, recognizing faith. And so Mary remained with her for about 3 months and returned to her house. So most likely she stayed there till John was born. Must have been a glorious moment. It's supernatural. When you find like faith, you don't want to lose it. Fight for it. When you find the thing that I want to release, and we're going to close with this. We are not taking advantage of the power of blessing each other. We're not taking advantage of seeking older saints who are carrying miracles that maybe they were known more by being barren because their promise hasn't yet performed, and let them release the blessing of the faith, of longevity of faith, Cammie spoke of. And we have to also be those who are carrying promise, going, what about my promise? I know it's yet. We have to begin to see the new miracles breaking forth, the young that are coming alive. This is tri-generational Christmas. You say, where's the tri-generation? Well, God, he helped me out. He just said, it's easy. There's Zacchaeus, and there is Elizabeth, there's Simeon, there's Anna, and then there's Mary, and then there's Joseph. Okay, that's two generations. No, there's Jesus. Baby Jesus. You got to have a baby Jesus for the miracle of Christmas. Three generations in play, functioning in unity with the sovereignty of promise and prophetic utterance. Whoa. So what I want us to do is we're going to find somebody, and I want you to bless them for their faith. Blessed are you who believe. And once you release that blessing, then you can, if you've received that blessing, you can agree and declare something of what God is saying, or you've heard, or you can return the blessing back to the person that just blessed you and said, blessed are you who believe. You see, some of us are like, I don't know if I could prophesy. I don't know if I could make these kind of bold statements about my life. You can't. It's just we live in such an unbelieving culture that we feel like that would be brash, and we feel like it's beyond what we should do. That's why the power of blessing unlocks prophecy. There were several years ago, Cammie and I were at an interdenominational pastor's prayer gathering for the churches in Camarillo. And a dear friend of ours who's retired since then, he got up, and his little portion, he said, I want you to bless the person, someone with you, or someone, to bless them. And this was like one of the first introductions of the power of blessing, probably in early 90s. And so Cammie turned to me. I don't know who started it, but I remember it was so weird. She turned to me and said, I bless you with the chance to go skiing. I said, whoa, can you do that? This is church. You know, it's not spiritual. And I said, I bless you with a bunch of new clothes. And then she blessed me with you know, more. And it was just, and the good intention, the well-wishing broke open. And before we knew it, we're now speaking of spiritual matters. So blessing has the power to unlock people's futures. It just has a future. I bless you with health. I bless you with wealth. I bless you because you're a believer. You're a believer. You're blessed. I release the full blessing of Abraham over you. And it just kind of grows. And watch this. It's going to happen for each of us. So if you'll stand up. Because there was a prophetic word that came earlier that God is wanting to heal the generational breaches and brokenness of our generations. And so much of life is being separated generationally, but he's restoring generational unity. So if you've got someone older close to you, go find them. If you've got someone younger by you, go find them. And I want you to just start to bless that person. Nobody's alone. Somebody find somebody. Don't wait for them to find you. You find them. And let's begin to release a blessing. And I'm going to release a blessing to those online. There is a blessing for every... Blessed are you who believe. Let's just say that together. Blessed are you who believe. You are blessed because you believe. Because you're a believer. Because you heard the word and you believed. Because you believe, you are blessed. I bless you. I bless you and I declare to you, because I will prophesy with you, that what God began, he will complete. He will finish the good work. He will finish the good work. He will complete what he started. He will bring forth glory. Many will call you blessed. Many will call you blessed among women, blessed among men, blessed among this society. You will come out of the hole that you were thrown into. You will come out of the pit and out of the prison, and you will go into your purpose, your unity, your calling of God. You will fulfill your destiny. You are blessed. Blessed. You will live in the land. You will not be driven out of the land. You'll hold your place. You'll not lose your place. You will be changed in the garments of your reproach will be given to the honor and to glory. You will come in. Hold the word you've heard. It's like a little light shining in the dark place, but it's about to spring forth. It's going to be like a day dawning, a morning star rising. It's going to eclipse the sufferings and the pain. Way beyond what you could see. You'll look back and say the light affliction that went through was but for a moment, has unlocked the most exceeding glorious experience in my life. I worship God. Worship him. Worship him. Go ahead. Prophesy to one another. If you're stunned, then begin to praise the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My soul doth magnify you, Lord. I magnify you. I extol you, Lord Jesus, the glorious one, the triumphant one, that you're the one I want to see in everything, everywhere, in any place. I want you to be glorious, be heard. I want to hear you. My soul doth magnify you, Lord Jesus. My spirit is rejoicing. The joy of the Lord is rising up inside of some of us right here. It's breaking away or eclipsing or illuminating our darkness into light. Shining, shining. Whoa, yes. Blessed are you because you believe. You are blessed because you believe. And there will be a fulfillment. Yes, yes, and there will be a fulfillment of what God spoke to both of you, to you, a fulfillment. Blessed. Blessed are you, gainer, for you believed. And there will be a fulfillment of everything God has spoken to you. Blessed. Blessed. Blessed are you, Jamie, for there will be a fulfillment. You believed. You are blessed because you believe. And there will be a fulfillment of all that God has spoken to you. Yes, yes, yes. Blessing. Receive. Just another moment, then we're going to release one last blessing. Blessed are you for you believed. Yeah, you did. You believed. And therefore, there will be a fulfillment of everything the Lord spoke to you. You are blessed. You are blessed. Yes, you're blessed. Didi, blessed are you for you believe. There will be a fulfillment of what God has spoken to you. You are blessed because you believe. Everyone, every one of us. Blessed are you online again. Blessed. Janet, blessed are you because you believed. And now the Lord has hid you because he's removed the reproach from you. And he's caused fruitfulness to abound in you. It's going to be a really good year. a great year for you this year. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Yes. Yes, we receive. We receive. We receive. We receive. We receive. All right, I want to release. Keep praying. Keep blessing. And I want to declare the freedom. Oh, Kika. There's faith. There's prophecy. Don't be surprised if today while you're going about your business, a word of the Lord rises up. And just make the declaration just unto God. But my soul doth magnify you, Lord. Great is you've done great things for me. Just declare these things. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the sons of God that are about to be glorified in Christ as Christ is glorified in his church. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are causing from the riches of your glory in Christ to strengthen the entire living body with might in our inner man. That Christ is dwelling in our hearts by faith, permanently abiding there. And we are rooted and grounded in love. And it's transforming the way life works and everything's response to everything. Fear is driven away. Love is making us perfect in Christ. And wholeness is abounding. And a growth is taking place. And a multiplication to every life, every household, every family is coming in. And we're going to be a people known as the blessers. We are going to have authority to release blessing to anyone in whom God gives us unction for. And we're going to be able to unlock people who are locked up in negativity, in fear, in unbelief, as God will loose us to say a kind word, a gesture, a promise. We're going to unlock businesses. We're going to release funding to finances to people just because we speak well. We are a people who command the blessings of God. And God is releasing blessing as he does forgiveness. We have the power to forgive and we have the power to bless. Forgiveness isn't full until the blessing's been given. And blessing often gets stuck until forgiveness is released. So hallelujah, Jesus. We will. Continue on as long as you like. The ministry team will be up forward. For prayer, any and all are welcome to come and receive prayer. Go into your day with confidence in Jesus Christ. He takes the lowly, he lifts us up. He takes the poor, he makes us rich. He takes the proud and lets them kind of wander in their own ways. And he takes the rich and sends them away empty-handed. So hungry, needy, thirsty people, satisfied completely, fully by the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. He's rising up. Have a wonderful day.